All right, we're being Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And if there was ever a message I didn't want to preach or talk about, it's today's, all right? I struggled with this one. I mean, I struggle with them all, but if there's one area that probably hits the hardest, it's when you start talking about pride. I really spent time this last week paying attention to areas that I was prideful in. There's a lot of pride, I can just say, in my life. And so I thought, if there's a lot of pride in my life, I'm sure there's some pride in everyone's life. And of course, we want to be proud in certain areas, right? We want to be proud of our children. We want to be proud that we might take care of ourselves. We want to be proud that we work, right, and to try to take care of ourselves. I always like it when somebody says they prefer not to ask for help because they want to handle themselves. I get that. I applaud that attitude because that's not seeming to be the attitude of today, right? But we do want to have people that need help to ask us. It tends to be today that people just assume that you're going to do whatever they need. But so I applaud those areas of pride. But Jesus hones in today in Luke chapter 14 on an area of pride that I think we all struggle with, and just pride in general. And so I want to talk about this morning and talking about eating some humble pie. We all need to eat some humble pie. Anybody ever ate humble pie because you didn't necessarily want it on the menu, you just got served it, right? I think we'd all just be, right? I saw this picture, I thought, this poor, you know, do yourself a favor and have a slice or two. I think if we all kind of face the day with the idea that knows, and one of my points in here is that our default setting is pride. That's just where we are, pride. It's listed in the things that God hates. It's listed throughout the Bible. As a matter of fact, James chapter 4, verse 10, and I wanted to kind of read that to you. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. It's one of the only areas, and I think I've said this before, that I've seen in Scripture where it talks about how to get God to lift us up, get God to encourage us, get God to put us where we need to be on the right path, is to come to him humbly. Anybody went to the Lord in pride? I mean, I've done that, right? You like try to come to him in pride, and it just doesn't work. And so this morning, what are some things that we were proud of that we shouldn't, or where the pride comes up that we see that shouldn't be there? Position, right? Jobs, maybe? Anything else? Family stature? Finances? I'm throwing them out there for you. Come on, guys. Children? Woo! Now you're meddling. Who said it? She said it, so when I use it later on, blame her. That's pride, right? Just shifting the blame onto her, right? Hairstyle? I knew that was a hit at me. Thank you. I was reading something that said, it was a theologian that said, they believe that behind every sin is pride. I said, wow, that's pretty deep. What are some other things we have? Spiritual? College, you say? Talent? Yes. College as well. I remember back in the times when I'd roll with certain styles of preacher, they want to know where you go to school because that would tell whether or not they respected you or not is what school you went to, right? What seminary you went to. Anybody else? I think we covered a lot, right? Right, to feel that you're more holier than somebody else, that's right. So let's look at some verses here. Let's look at Luke chapter 14. It says, and it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him. Now, we talked about last week, according to Luke chapter 11, that they're looking for a reason to cause him to stumble. They're waiting to hear what he has to say. Verse 2, and behold, there was a certain man before him who had the dropsy. Now, pause there. I went and looked up what dropsy is, and there's a lot of different explanations of it. But the one says it's just excessive fluid in the body, and it causes a lot of problems with the heart, causes problems with the liver, kidneys. And I guess it would be an outward thing that you could kind of see, but it was more of an internal thing. So this gentleman had it. Now, I don't know if he was planted there, but Jesus used this as an opportunity to teach. In verse 3, and Jesus answered, spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Verse 4, and they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out of on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and he come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. And when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go to the higher, then shall thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Verse 11, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then he said unto them that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, and for that thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray that as we look at the Scripture, we pray that we would apply it to our hearts. And God, I pray the Holy Spirit would have freedom in this church. Holy Spirit, to challenge our hearts. That we wouldn't be not willing, or that when the correction comes in, we'd push it away. I pray all focus would be this morning on you. I pray we lay aside what's happening at home. I pray we wouldn't care about what's in the crock pots or the stoves or what time we're going to get out of here. I pray that we just focus in on your time. God, we know that this is your worship. We're sitting here, and how the Holy Spirit runs through the church and how our hearts prepare and how our hearts respond is the worship you're looking for. I pray this wouldn't be just a going through the motions, a pharisaical thing that we do once a week where we sit in here and just put in our dues to make ourselves right with you. I pray that we would allow your Spirit to talk. I pray that we would just listen to what the Holy Spirit tells us. Lord, I pray that we would be challenged. Lord, there's some needs here today. I pray that you would meet those needs. If it's through us that you could use it, Lord, I pray you'd make it crystal clear to us on how we can help. God, I thank you for 2019, and we thank you for what you have in store for us in 2020. So God, I pray your business would be done here in this church with your people. Be with this servant. Hide me behind your cross. Lord, anoint my lips. May I not say anything that was not of your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So with humility, humble pie. So what would be one of the first points? Well, let's go through some scriptures of what God's word says. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but when the lowly, with the lonely is wisdom. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold in the humble in spirit. Behold destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. And then in 1 Corinthians, New Testament here. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. I wonder how many times I've gloried in his presence. My flesh, how about you? The scripture clearly says that no flesh shall glory in his presence. So I think the first thing we have to look at is number one is this. Why should we eat humble pie? Why? Because number one, we all battle with pride, according to the Bible. We see in verses 1 through 6 here, Jesus comes in, he's invited into the Pharisee's house, and he sees how the thing is unfolded. He sees there's a man in need. He sees that people have taken positions at tables, and he uses this as a perfect teaching a point that we are all battling with pride. He heals the man that needs to get blood flow to get the blood flowing in the discussion. He starts that to use that as his topic to talk about. And I think it's interesting that some of the translations, instead of saying a donkey, it says a son. I don't know if that's I don't know if there's some correlation there, but some of the newer translations have a donkey there instead of a son there instead of a donkey. He asks some questions. He asks them two questions. Is it okay? And he asks them twice, and they don't say a word. We need to remember that we too are blinded by our own pride. I like it a lot of times. I would talk with Kip. Kip talks about our blind spots. We all have blind spots. Do you know that? We can't see them. And a lot of times, he puts us with a spouse that sees our blind spots. Anybody else married there? It's a thing to celebrate. We can't see our blind spots, but they certainly can. So the first thing is we all battle with pride. Well, number two, it's hard to recognize your own, your in yourself. The pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick except the one who has it. As I was reflecting back at my pride this last week, I would have to challenge every discussion, everything in my home. That's where my pride's the biggest. Anybody else? Come on now. Let's raise our hands if we're sure, right? We got deodorant on this morning. When I come to church, I can put on the best face. I know to click into that avenue, right? I know when to go to church, I'm to be godly. I'm supposed to put my mind in the right place, focus on the right things. When I get around you, I know. But when I'm at home, that all drops. Anybody else? Because you're comfortable, you go home. Pretty soon, you're arguing about everything. You're arguing about why a dog is acting a certain way. Anybody over there? You got a daughter that works at a vet clinic. She starts throwing out things. What do you think? Okay, Dr. Morris. Right? That's a pride. Are you hearing me? That's pride. And so we got to remember that sometimes when we think about pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick except for those who have it. Look at verse 8. It says, when they have bidden of any man in the wedding, sit not down at the highest room, lest a more honorable man come and thou be bidden of him. So he's saying here, he takes to a wedding. When we're invited to a wedding, we got places we're going to sit, right? How many of us like to go to weddings and we get to see where we sit? A lot of times people like to play messes with you, right? They put you next to people you don't care about. Sometimes you feel a little less important if you're put in the back of the room next to the corner, right? And you're like, wow, I didn't get to sit next to the table. There's always the head table. Well, in these areas, especially in the Middle Eastern culture, and today I think it's still the same, the person of importance would always sit to the right of the person that was hosting, and then the next important person would sit directly to their left. That's why you got to look at the upper room where Jesus is with the disciples. Judas was sitting right there to his left. He was of importance. So when Jesus walked into the room, everybody had their spot, and he used it as an opportunity to say, look, you don't even notice in your own home who has importance. And I'm sure the man with dropsy or the disease wasn't in one of the places of importance. We don't even recognize it in ourselves. We have to be very careful because it sneaks up and it destroys. Pop quiz. Anybody like pop quizzes? I've asked that before. Here's a pop quiz to talk about if you've got some humility issues, some things. I enjoy being the center of attention. You might have a pride problem. If I was to channel my inner Jeff Foxworthy. If you think you deserve the best, you might have a pride problem. You want to see when you have a pride problem? Go to a restaurant and they bring you food that isn't the best way you think. The cat claws come out, don't they? I deserve better. Much of my conversation is filled with I, right? Well, I thought we should go doing this, and if you were as good as I, you would be doing it as well. Look no further than Lucifer. And as Isaiah chapter 12, with all the I, is that he said, I will be like the Most High. I find it difficult to admit I'm wrong. How many in here love to admit they're wrong? There's a few, right? But most of us don't like to admit when we're wrong. I seldom pass a mirror without looking at myself. Most of the mirrors I walk, I'm like, oh, I'm not wearing that shirt again, right? I'm stubborn and I don't like to be corrected or change, right? Why did they do that change? Don't they know who I am? Well, I'm sorry, we didn't know who you were. Come on now. I've seen it in here. We've moved some chairs around. Woo-hoo! Not talking to him for 2-3 weeks. I'm going to let you know something. This is my pride. If I know you're not going to talk to me because you're mad at me, I push even more. I like become more friendly with you. So we have a pride issue, right? So we do have pride. So that should be up there. My feelings are easily hurt. It's a pride issue, right? I'm impatient with others' mistakes. Somebody makes a mistake, we can't deal with it. Some of y'all write down all the mistakes I make in a sermon. I've heard people say, I come, I want to pop popcorn and sit in here with popcorn and eat as you preach so I can laugh at some of the things you mutilate. I know you mean it with humor. I don't get enough appreciation for all that I do. I think we all be there, right? All the things that I do. How many husbands have been here? Boy, if she even knew how blessed she was to be married to me, she'd treat me a lot better. Right? Right? Doesn't she know all that I am and she treats me like that? We believe that, right? Come on, see? Dave's over there raising his hand. Man, we think we're... Little do we know, we got ear stuff falling out our ears and our shirt. Got nose hairs growing out. We have smells coming out of us we don't even know. But yet we think that. I'm offended if I'm rendered a service and don't receive a thank you. That person didn't say thank you. Now, don't get me wrong. We should be teaching our children thank you. Yes. You're welcome. Please, ma'am, sir. We should be teaching. If anything, that's probably a lost thing right now, right? I used to hear people say it and think, oh, they're just saying it. It's lost. I sat there yesterday as I was trying to get one of my sons to talk to a man, and he turned into spazoid as the man asked him a simple question. He started, can't answer. Like he's TikToking Zakiya. You ever seen the TikTokers? Oh, my goodness. You know what TikTok is? It's an app where teenagers go on there and they do dance moves. So now when you stand there and talk to a teenager, they're like this. I'm not even kidding you. Last night as I had a discussion, I said, stop TikToking so I can talk to you. Because you look like somebody that belongs in a mental institution right now. So we need to teach our teenagers to say thank you, you're welcome, please, yes, no ma'am, yes sir. So that's just a personal thing, right? Watch out for TikTok. It just, whew. I seldom ask for help because I can do a better job myself, right? I fall into that. My preacher used to tell me this, if you find somebody who can do something 80% as good as you, let them do it. Because most of the time, why is that? If you say somebody can do it maybe 80% of me, really they could probably do it better than you, but you won't give them credit until you think they can do it almost as good as you. And then lastly, I feel good that I didn't check yes to every question. Guess what? You're full of pride. So you're set up from the beginning. We all have pride issues. And they're hard to see, and they're not easy to recognize. So I want us to talk about this, though. Pride leads to ruin. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Anytime someone's pride, watch out, because what's going to happen? They're going to trip and fall. Literally, there's been times I've been full of pride, and guess what happens? Slip and fall. Slip and fall. The other day I was going to the gym. I was like, yeah, I'm out of bed early. I'm going to the gym. As soon as I stepped out of my truck, guess what happened? I slipped and fell for real. I smiled and said, thank you, Lord. I need the humble pie. Look at verse 9. Look how embarrassing this would be. He says, so here's this wedding. This person takes the most honorable position to take. And in verse 9, and he says, and he bade thee and come and said thee, give this man place that thou begin with shame and take to the lower room. So he's saying here, okay, you've took it a place, a position, an honor that you shouldn't have took because you thought you deserved it. And then all of a sudden, here comes somebody that is of importance, and the host guy has to say, excuse me, sir, but you need to move so that this gentleman, who's more important, can sit down. It can lead to ruins. How embarrassing would that be? Jesus says it's better to go sit in the back of the room than have that host come up and say, excuse me, I want to move you to the front. I can say how that feels. About 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we were flying back from North Carolina, and we were shoved in the back of the plane. In the bathrooms, like up against the bathroom, there's no lean back. And then the guy in front of me leans back, and I have like this much room. Because I'm a big guy as it is, right? And I looked over at the wife, and I smiled. And I said, we've got the best seats in the house. And I wasn't being prideful. I was just joking because I knew I could start complaining. Anybody got a complaining spirit? I didn't complain. Just started thinking, this is going to be, luckily it's only like an hour ride. I'm okay. Well, all of a sudden, the guy at the front of the plane, one of the stewardess goes, he waves up. I'm like, Kim, we got to go. And if she's not listening, she's like, nah, he ain't telling us. I'm like, no, he's telling us we got to go. Nah, he doesn't. So I started, okay, maybe he's not. So look, and he's like, yeah, he's really calling us. Well, we go up, and he put us in first class with all the leg room. He said, you guys are on the next of the list to go into first class. I didn't pay first class. So he said, you guys are next on the list. We sat in first class. I'm talking the front seat with all the room. There was nothing but a, like, I never had that much room in my life. I could have laid down. I had so much room. So I can tell you what it's like to go from the bathroom seat to the front of the seat and have all the room. But what if I'd have went on that plane and sat down in the front of the plane and said, don't you know who I am? They'd have said, no, really, I don't. Go to the back of the seat. How embarrassing that would have been. But pride sets us up for ruin. It sets us up to think we're somebody we're not. We are children of God, yes. We are children of the King, but that is because of what He did, not because of anything we've done. even if we're less sinful today than we were the day we're saved, is because of the work he's done, not because of anything I've done. Did you hear me? He is responsible for the entire journey of your salvation. So we got to be careful that we don't allow it to ruin us to think we're something we're not. The greatest warning of danger, of pride, is seen in the devil himself in Isaiah 14, as I said earlier. He says, I will be like the Most High. I. He repeats it. And we know who the devil is. He isn't the high. He's going to be in hell, burning for eternity. So our goal is humility. So why eat humble pie? Because our goal is humility. That is our goal. Remember James 4:10? Let's go back and read that again. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God wants us humble. He wants us humble, and he wants us to come to him humble. He wants us to come to him boldly, but he wants us to come to him with humility. He wants us to understand who we are in his eyes. We are his love child, and we love him, but because we love him, is the only reason why we love him is because he first loved us. And the only reason why we can come boldly to him is because of his son that he sent to earth to die in our place so that we can have access into heaven. So we need to have that humility to know where we've been and where we've come from and what God's done to and for us. Every Christian's goal should be humility. Secondly, true humility is to see myself as God sees me. Look at verses 10 and 11. But when thou art bidden to go and sit down in the lowest room, and when he has bid thee to come, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher, then shall you have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Verses 10 and 11. Humility is not having a poor self-image or thinking you are a worthless wimp. It's having an honest evaluation of who you are. As the Bible describes you, on one hand, I am a sinner who deserves death and hell, yet I am a child of God. One Christian author said this, a humble man is not a man mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows he is weak and helpless as God's declared him to be, but paradoxically, he knows at the same time he is in the sight of God of more importance than the angels. In himself, nothing in God, everything. It's knowing that you're a sinner that needed Jesus Christ to be saved and that you are higher than the angels in his eyes and one day you will reign with him, but it's only because of him. Thirdly, true humility is revealed in how I treat others. The only way to reveal your humility is how you treat others higher than yourself. Pride keeps saying I, center of universe, and is constantly looking out. Humility replaces I with Christ. How do you treat others? And I would take this. How do you treat those others you don't agree with? That's the real test, right? So when I'm standing at the Walmart checkout and I've actually got a flesh and blood cashier in front of me, right? Or the lady that's running 14 registers by herself, it's not when she's nice and kind to me, that's not really where my humility, my character of God is shown. It's when she mistreats me how I treat her, right? As I have confessed in my life group, it's not that when they want to check me out as I walk out of Walmart, you know how they want to check your receipts? I get angry because my pride strikes up and says, well, if you didn't want to check my, if you want to check my receipt, you would have checked me out. So I make it my duty to run past that guy. You know the guy standing there in the yellow vest that wants to check everything? I'm like, dude, if you want to check, no, heck no. Go check somebody else. I won't even make eye contact. It's like you don't even look at him. You don't hear him. But that's not the idea. The idea is true humility, godly character would walk up and say, yes, sir, here you go. Just a simple application of it. But we struggle with pride so much that we can't even do that. And I know some of us are laughing and it is comical, but it's just that's the simple thing we're at because we get so angry when somebody cuts us off in traffic. Or better yet, how about how we feel when everything's going into one lane, right, because they got construction or whatever, and all of a sudden we see people passing by us. How many get so angry they're ready to just whip their car out? How many of you actually take your car and split the lane so they can't pass you anymore? Right? So it's interesting that we're okay to have humility until the point that we have a button pushed. Yes, that person's wrong. Don't get me wrong. But is it our job to correct them and get angry at them to the point to where I've seen people getting fist fights over it? But yet we have a pride issue. My child is better than your child. I saw the best shirt yesterday at the wrestling match I could ever see. A lady was wearing a shirt that said, "My heart is on that mat." Wrestling moms, hashtag wrestling moms. There was other ones that said, you know, blah, blah, blah. That one was the best one. It just said, "My heart is on that mat." Her son, daughter out there wrestling, that's their heart. I thought that was a good shirt. But so often we're so angry. We treat people like garbage. And those that treat us bad, we decide to ratchet up and treat them bad. But a godly character, Jesus' character, that's inside of us as believers, is to treat people better. Amen? I don't know how many times I talk to people that are on the verge of being Christians, that aren't Christians, that are thinking about being Christians, that say, "Man, I met this person, and I thought they were a Christian. I want nothing to do with it if that's what a Christian looks like." And it's because of pride. Fourthly, humility is refined through adversity. You're going to get some humble pie. You can either take it willingly, or you can take it forcefully. As the scripture said, when pride happens, what happens? A fall happens. And so there is humility that's refined through adversity. I want us to look at Philippians chapter 2 for a second. Philippians chapter 2. Because this is the motto of the person that we're supposed to be like. When you're there, say you're there. We'll take some time. GE Power Company, if that's what you're looking for. There's other ways to do it, right? GE Power Company. You know what that means, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. What's that? Go eat popcorn if you like popcorn. I'd say people are trying to remember where they are. When you get in that section of Galatians through Philippians, how you remember them. So Philippians chapter 2. And let's look at a few verses. Verse 4 of chapter 2. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Right? Look on the other, make sure. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But in verse 7, "but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Stopping right there. If our God would send his Son, who deserves all praise, all glory, right? Who's King of Kings, who owns everything, would step down and be a servant for us, how can we not be a servant for others? How can we even have any pride? Because the scripture says he became obedient. He humbled himself. And God goes on to say that he then gives him a name above all names. He already had a name above all names. He was the Son of God, the only Son of God. And he humbled himself to become a servant, to die for you and I. And then he asks for us to do is to live for him, to allow him us to live with a testimony of him living through us. So as believers, we have no reason not to eat humble pie and to be humble. So what do I do with that? Number one, remember our default is pride. Remember your fault is pride. You're going to have it. Allow someone else to speak truth. That's the real tough time. I kid around and say that, would somebody allow somebody else? There are some of you in this room, and I want you to get this, and this is not a good thing, and you might laugh about it. There are some of you in this room that nobody can ever speak any truth into your life. You can't hear it. It's going to take something probably pretty catastrophic that God's going to have to do to get your attention, because you won't allow somebody to speak truth in your life. You can't hear it. You are walled off. You've got the wall up. As soon as somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, there's some things I really need to talk to you about because there's some real concerns," you're, bloop, they're picking on me. I'm not talking to you ever again. That's a sad place to be in. And you will not grow as a Christian until you get past that. Did you hear me? God cannot grow you because you got to come to him humbly, right? He can't exalt you until you come humbly. When somebody comes to you, now listen, some of you are going that route. There are some people that have come to you in the past that have hurt you, that had no business to speak a truth, and I put it in air quotes. But that's not the majority of people. I know Christians that really pray and pray and pray, and God has said, go speak to this person. And they did, and they got shot down. What if David would have got shot down? Remember Nathan? The prophet Nathan came to David when David was cheating, and he laid out this whole thing, and David said, when Nathan said, thou art the man, what if David would have turned his back and just killed Nathan like he could have as a king? But he heard him. Allow someone to speak truth in your life. It's okay to write it down and think maybe it's not true. Pray on it. Come back to him. Write questions, come back. But allow somebody to speak truth. Pride will always leave you lonely. Who wants to be around somebody prideful? How many love athletes on TV that share how much money they make? Millions and millions of dollars. Antonio Brown. When somebody challenged him about being broke, he wouldn't decide to show a snapshot of his $25 million in the bank and said, I'm not broke. Who was impressed by that, really? Anybody want to be like, I want to be his best friend? None of us want to be around people with pride. You want to be around people that are humble, don't you? Somebody that's more concerned about you than themselves. So pride will always leave you lonely. God will honor, lift up true humility. If you're humble, he'll lift you up. Remember, you are a sinner saved to be used of God. The reason why you're saved is not just to escape hell, fire and brimstone. It's not just to get out of jail free card. It's to be serving him and to be saved to be used to him. So what is God using you for? So preacher, I really don't know. Well, get involved. Get involved with his church. Get involved with his New Testament bride right here. Find an area and say, I'm going to do it. At least teenagers were involved this morning. They're up here singing. Amen? Remember, you're a sinner saved by to be used. And how do you treat those that you disagree with? That's the one I focus on the most, because I'm that prideful jerk that when somebody disagrees with me, I'm going to disagree with them. I went to the doctor's office and literally with the idea that if I was late, I was going to tell him, welcome to my life, because he's always late. And then he walks in 15 minutes late after I'm sitting there. And I made a point to walk up to the window and say, and said something, and she's like, shh. So apparently he's been said before. And I went into the back of the room to tell him, you've put me behind, da-da-da, tell him everything else. I just kept my mouth shut. It was hard because I sat there for 2 hours to go through a physical and everything else. But I kept my mouth shut, struck up a conversation with his nurse, found out there were some areas that I could give her some hope for. And guess what? Because I shut up and humbled myself, God didn't exalt me, but he gave me the opportunity to talk to somebody else that needed some input, right? That needed some encouragement. Because I wasn't looking at her going, I've got a whole day I've wasted. I got to be somewhere. He owes me time, right? Like we could, because he is wasting time. I was kind, I was courteous, and I was able to talk to this lady who needed some help because she's dealing with a lot of things right now with kids and wanted to know about different things. So praise God that I kept my mouth shut for one time, because that's me. How do you treat people that you disagree with? So that's the question. Do you like the humble pie? Are you eating the humble pie? I don't think we like it, right? Because our default is pride. But I think we all have a lot of pride that we need to get rid of today. And we say, Lord, what are the areas that you need to show me? And then this is the challenge. Pray that he shows you all week those areas. Whatever it is, you say, Lord, what is it? What is the one spot that I deal with a lot of pride that you want to show me this week? And I promise you the Holy Spirit will show you. That's why I went into it last week. I said, God, I'm not sure if I really want to do this on pride. Who wants to talk about pride and being humble? But show me the areas I'm full of pride. Man, I was full of pride all the way through last night. I was full of pride. It's bad. And all of us do it to an extent. If you've not trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior, what is stopping you? If it's a Christian that's blowing it, can I be the first to tell you this? I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that Christian. I'm sorry for myself. I'm not above them because I've chased people off of church by the way I've acted, okay? I'm sorry that that person has let you down. But I want to tell you this. The God of this Bible, Jesus, he is not represented in the sinfulness of man. He is represented in the good things you see of that man. Anything you see good is because of him. So any Christian that you've ran into or you will run into that does some good things that you're like, wow, I wish more people was like that, that's Christ. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And maybe you're the person that he's going to use to set the rest of us straight, the rest of us Christians straight. Maybe you're going to be the one he saves to be the person that's the reminder in our ear that says, guys, let's not get like that. Let's not get all high and mighty. Let's look at this a different way. And so I want to challenge you, rather than being on the other side saying, you Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites, maybe you just say, God, can I be used of you to help? Who knows? Maybe God will. But the most important thing is this. Even as a hypocrite, we're all headed to heaven. And as I beat up the Christians in here, we talk about some things and we laugh, that's the worst we're going to get it. Even when God helps us fall down on the ice when we get a big head, one day we're going to see him in heaven. If you don't trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not spend eternity in heaven. You will spend eternity in hell. You got to trust in him. You got to place your trust, your life, you have to surrender all to him. And you got to allow him to walk through you. So it's a life-changing experience. But he wants to give you that forgiveness. He wants to get rid of that bitterness. He wants to get rid of any of that thing, any of that stuff in your life that you've been told that's a lie, that man's told you. And he wants to show you that you're loved by a God that will never leave you nor forsake you. But you got to be willing to surrender. Just as the scripture said, he took on the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And even unto the death of the cross. You got to become obedient to death to self. You got to say, yep, he took the cross for my sins. I'm dying to myself and I'm trusting in him. So every head bowed and every eye closed. Where are you at this morning? We're going to stand in a moment and we're going to sing, yeah. But do you know him as Lord and Savior? If you don't know him, would you call out right now and say, Jesus, I need you as my Lord and Savior. I surrender all right now. I'm humbling myself. I'm being obedient to the cross. I'm trusting. I believe that your son was Jesus, that he lived and died and rose again for me. I'm placing my faith in that trust right now. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to have you look at me. I'm going to see if you're as obedient as Christ was. When it says he was put on a cross 2,000 years ago, he was put up on a cross, and he was put up before all man. As Christians stand, Christians, here's your challenge. Would you come up here and pray? Would you pray for yourselves and pray for others? And if you did trust in Jesus Christ and you said the prayer and you believed it and you've trusted it, maybe it wasn't just today, maybe it's been over the last week, I want you to come and pray at the altar. What do I want you to pray? I want you to pray, God, thank you for saving my soul. Here I am. Use me. So that's the challenge. If you've trusted in him, when we stand up, you come stand up here. It doesn't matter who sees you. The only important person is God. And Christians, if you need to pray for something you got a pride issue with, you get up here too. Maybe you don't have a pride issue. Well, you do because you're not willing to admit it. But maybe it's another thing you need to bring up here. You bring it. Let's get business done today with Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help all of us with our pride. God, I pray you'd help us to be able to look past ourselves. And Lord, I pray you start with me. I'm not praying for anybody in the church before myself. There's areas in my own home where I'm full of pride and I just got to prove myself right, or don't they know who I am, and I'm the Father, and they're to listen, and God, that's not the right attitude. That's not you. That's the devil. And you said the devil is the father of lies, so there's so many times I've been deceived by his lies. But God, I'm not going to just blame him. My pride trips into that lie because it likes to think it's important. And Lord, I need 1 Corinthians to remind me that you choose the weak things, so that you can get all the glory. So God, I pray that my flesh would not glorify in your presence. And God, I think if more of us were more honest this morning, we're in the same boat. So God, I pray that we would become better servants, better fathers, better husbands, better friends and leaders in the community. Rather than casting our judgmental, prideful looks at other people, may we remember that we are sinful man too. And God, I pray that we would look to reach the community with a humble heart to show them your Son, Jesus. Wow, how awesome He is. So God, I pray that would be our answer. And Lord, I pray for those that have started to make the step of salvation. They're trying to figure this thing out. Lord, I pray they'd be boldened to reach out and ask questions. And I pray that we'd be able to answer them and give them the direction. But Lord, I pray they'd start just tomorrow, just praying and talking to you throughout the day. Jesus, thank you for taking our place on the cross. Wow. That depth of love to step out of heaven, to take off the heavenly robes and put on earthly clothes that would be spat upon and casted looks and beaten. Jesus, I don't know if we'll ever fully understand. And then that day when we pass on, that you're there to take us into the glory of your Father. What a day that will be when my Jesus we will see. When he takes us by the hand and leads us in the promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. And your name is the only name that's worth being lifted up. The only name worth being mentioned, it's on high. So we thank you for everything you've done in this church. I'm astounded at how you've used this church. The finances you've thrown through it, the ministries you've used, the lives you touched. In this little area of Prospect, in Utica, in Rome, you are amazing, you are awesome, and you deserve all the praise for it. God, I pray you continue to use this church, and I beg you to continue to use us. And if we start to fall off, you just correct us and put us right back on the path. It's so awesome to be part of your plan. We ask all this in the only name that's worthy of praise, and his name is Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.